Okay, I have a question for you, all of you listening right now. How many of you talk to or otherwise communicate with other humans? I want you to raise your hand. Good. You need to listen to this episode because it's about how to talk to other humans. And here are a few things. You can put your hands down now. Here are a few things that I'm going to share with you in this episode. Why you need to write more if you want to be a better speaker. Why you need to prepare and have a message before you start talking. Why you should repeat yourself more often. Why you should repeat yourself more often. Why you should talk like you're talking to just one person. Why it's important to know your audience. And more. Really, I've got more. I got a lot more. So welcome to episode 25 of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd. Let's get this thing going. Ryan, you should be repeating yourself more often. I'm serious, guys. Super serious. Okay, everyone. Welcome to the 25th episode of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd. I am a podcast editor, and evidently I'm also a writer, because I've been writing a lot lately, and I love it. I love it. So this episode is titled How to Talk to Your Audience and Create a Deeper Connection. And I think I'm going to give it a subtitle of How to Communicate More Effectively with People. So this ties in. I had a thought last night that I ended up posting to Twitter. And for context, I was thinking about what my podcast is about. And what I tweeted was basically, yeah, my podcast is about podcasting, but it's really more about how to communicate more effectively with people. How to talk to people. The words that we choose to use when communicating with other humans are very important. If you choose the right words and the right tone, you can change someone's life. I don't mean that, I'm not just saying that to say that. You can actually change the course of someone's entire life. If you choose the wrong words and the wrong tone, then your audience will turn their attention elsewhere, which means that you've failed. Nobody likes failing. There are many reasons why so many of us are afraid of talking. And I'm going to list just a few that I've actually struggled with in the past. Number one, the fear of rejection. Number two, fear of offending someone. Number three, this is my personal worst fear, fear of looking stupid. Number four, the fear of being ignored completely, which I think is actually the most painful. And I've struggled with all of these fears before, and I'm sure I'm going to continue to struggle with them in the future. I just want to say this real quick. If you've never been afraid to talk, if you don't struggle with talking to people, then you can just go ahead and skip this episode. It's not going to be for you. I don't think you'll get anything out of it. All right, I'm going to wait a second and give those jerks time to switch to a different podcast. Okay, good. I think they're gone. Let's keep going. First, you have to have a message. You have to have a message. Stop worrying that people won't be interested in hearing what you have to say. They're already listening. And if they don't want to listen, screw them. They're not for you. You're talking to the one person who really needs your message right now. If you can improve one person's life, then you are doing good work. And think about this. The largest movements started with one person. One single person who had the guts to share their thoughts with the world. Think about that for a minute. So you have to develop your message. The way to do this is you write. Strangely enough, I made this connection recently. You need to write more if you want to become a better speaker. It's kind of strange, right? Right? Oh, so bad. So this magical thing happened to me after I started writing more in the past year. I found myself saying complete sentences that I'd written in the past. And the cool thing about this, and the reason it was magical, was that these sentences made sense and sounded really good. So I believe it's true that writing will make you a better speaker, especially if you try to write like you talk. Believe me, if you try to read your writing out loud and you can't get through a sentence, you will start changing your writing to match your voice. This has happened to me before. Sure, it'll happen again in the future. It's a process. So if you want to get over the fear of speaking, if you want to be a better speaker, you need to pick up the pen and write. You need to sit down at your laptop and write. Got to be prepared. So let's get something out of the way right now. You're not ever going to deliver the perfect speech. You won't ever deliver the perfect podcast or the perfect conference talk or the perfect video. But that's okay. You still need to prepare. Not preparing for a speech or a podcast is like buying a plane ticket to walk across Europe or taking off on a road trip without packing anything. And could you survive? Possibly, but I bet you're going to have a bad time. You've all heard the cliche, failing to plan is planning to fail. And the same is true for podcasting and speaking. Sure, it's possible you could get up on stage or get in front of the microphone and talk for a while and say something good, but it's not going to be as good as if you're prepared. Every second you spend preparing is time well invested, and it will show in the final product, in the final podcast, in the final blog post, whatever it is. It shows when you prepare. You also need to know your audience and what they like. And this starts with defining what your show is about and who it's for. If you don't know who you're doing a show for, you won't be able to prepare topics that they'll be interested in. Say that one more time. If you don't know who you're doing a show for, you won't be able to prepare topics that they'll be interested in. There are really only two questions that matter. One, who is my show for? And two, what will it do for them? Keep these questions in mind. If you can't answer these questions, you shouldn't be podcasting. Questions again. One, who is my show for? And two, what will it do for them? Of course, you've heard me talk before about getting better at talking. I believe this is something that everybody should be investing time in. It's kind of the point of this episode. People want you to be good. Most people are not going around hoping that you suck at talking. They're listening to you. They're investing time in your show. Some great advice that I got one time, act confident even if you feel nervous. Be confident even if you feel nervous. Play yourself, play your character, play it up a little bit. Be a little larger than life. Be a little more animated than you normally would. Get a little bit crazy. It's kind of fun. Not gonna lie. Any of you who know me in real life know that most of the time I'm not as animated as I try to be on the podcast. And I'm getting better at it. I'm really trying to get better at speaking on a podcast. Am I gonna talk like this all the time in real life? Probably not. But maybe. Who knows? Another great tip right here. Slow your roll. Don't talk so fast. When we get nervous, we talk faster, we tend to rush. This is doing a disservice to your audience, to your friends, to your listeners. You need to put emphasis on the important words and take deep breaths before you start a sentence or paragraph. Don't talk so fast. Chill out a little bit. And for all of you who are thinking of writing and reading a script, reading your writing on air, I think this is fine. I think this is a good idea, especially if you're well-practiced at reading your writing out loud. But your delivery needs to be really, really good. There's really nothing worse than hearing someone give a monotone delivery of something that they wrote. Get animated. Try to talk like you would be talking in a conversation. Talk like you're on stage. That's a great, great mindset to be in when you're delivering some kind of speech. Don't bump your microphone. Don't be like me. I'm just kidding. Moving on. Oh, guys, this is the worst. This right here makes me angry. Don't apologize for not showing up. Just don't. Don't make excuses. We're all tired. We're all busy. Nobody wants to hear your excuses. Stop saying things or writing things like, well, it's been a while since I did a podcast episode or wrote a blog post. Sorry about that, guys. I'm going to really, really try to do better next time. Duh. Try telling your audience something they don't know. They already know that you haven't shown up for a month. You're wasting their time. Stop talking about how you failed and start putting systems in place to make sure you get that work done when you said you would. Commit to something. I'm going to talk about this in a future episode too. My tentative title for this episode, I think it's going to be somewhere in the 30s, is going to be, hang on, I got to go look this up because I don't want to get it wrong because it made me laugh. Okay. This is the title. It might change between now and then, but you need a boss to make you podcast. Is that not great? Guys, tell me that's not great. You need a boss to make you podcast. I think the reason so many people struggle with podcasting is because they don't have any accountability. They don't have people who will get angry at them if they don't show up and do a show, if they don't take the time to make something great. I'm not sure that I would have created, you know, written as many episodes, done as many episodes, written the epic show notes that I've done over at thepodcastdude.com. I'm not sure what I would have done that if I had not been a part of the Sean West Network. It's a huge motivator. It really, really keeps me on track. It's a struggle, but the payoff is huge. I love finishing show notes every week. I love writing all this stuff. Okay, let's keep going. I want you guys to put time to work on your podcast in your calendar. Put time to work on your blog posts, on your videos. Put it on the calendar and then show up. Stop waiting till the last minute to work on it. This has been huge for me. I talked about this last week too, but I'm going to repeat myself here because you should repeat yourself more often. Write a long list of topics that you want to talk about it and add to that as much and as often as you can. And prepare an outline a week or two before. And then, well, I'm saying if you give yourself a deadline, then don't wait to the last minute to prepare an outline for it. Week or two before, do an outline. And then a few days before, write a first draft. Just get a first draft out. Give yourself time to revisit that before the day of the recording or before the day that it's supposed to go out. One of the greatest tips I've heard about writing, especially recently, was to give your brain time to think about a topic. And Sean Blanc describes how he writes a topic on a note card at night before he goes to sleep, and he puts that on his computer. And when he wakes up in the morning, he writes about that thing, writes about that topic. I retweeted this, and I called it the OneNote method, and I think he's going to adopt the name, which is great. You write your topic down, and that gives your subconscious brain time to think about it. While you're sleeping, your brain's still working. It's cleaning up all that stuff that gets accumulated, but it's also working on it. And try it for yourself, guys. I'm serious. This really, really works. So you need to have a backlog of topics to write about. And then choose one. Write about it in the morning. Oh man, I also need to do a show about writing in the morning, how great it is. 6 a.m. Club. Hashtag 6 a.m. Club. Go check it out. Oh, this is my favorite right here. Repeat yourself a little more than you think you should. Most people need to hear something multiple times before it really sinks in. So repeat the important stuff multiple times. Your girlfriend wants to hear I love you more than once. You guys hearing me? All you guys out there? You just tell your girlfriend, tell your wife I love you. Cool, she's good for the rest of the year, right? No, that's not how it works. People need to hear things more than once. This isn't just true in podcasting. It's true in life. I got to tell you guys a story. I love my parents. You guys know this. I love my parents, but I wish they'd repeated things more often to me when I was a kid. I cannot tell you how many times this happened to me. I'd be walking around, you know, after breakfast, thinking about the books I want to read, you know, thinking about what I want to do outside. I want to go play. I'm a kid. And my mom's like, Aaron, can you go wash the dishes, clean the bathroom? And I'm halfway into this book that I'm reading, and I'm like, sure, okay. And I just get really engrossed in it. And they got angry at me. They said this so many times. I love them, but they said this: you never listen to us. It's like it goes one in one ear and out the other. At the time, I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I really don't remember you ever telling me that. And there were some times where I would just procrastinate. Sure. But there were several times where they would say something at me and it wouldn't register. If something is important to you, if you have something valuable to share, it's worth repeating. People need to hear things multiple times before it really sinks in. And you know what? if it's important enough to you to say it multiple times, if you, I'm not suggesting you get up in someone's face and say something six times, but if you tell something, if you tell someone something three or four times, they start to understand that it's really important to you. And so it becomes a priority in their mind too, especially if you're trying to share something valuable. So repeat your best stuff. Repeat your best work. Repeat your best words. There's power in repetition. Use that power. Use it. Pause after you make a really important point. We're not going to get into smart speed right now. I'm actually going to start using it. Pause after you make a really important point. This breaks the routine and the flow, and it'll stop and make people pay attention again. Work on speaking clearly. I said before, writing helps. Writing helps a lot. If you aren't writing for your podcast, you should be. Writing helps you find your voice. Writing forces you to think clearly and concisely. If your writing is sloppy, your speaking probably is too. And the only way to get better is to write more and write intentionally. Go back and edit yourself and try to make the best sentence as you can. Cut out unnecessary words. If you read what you've written out loud and it sounds funny, rewrite it. So write, read it out loud, edit it, read it again, rewrite it. The more time you spend writing, the better you'll get at it, especially if you're trying to read it out loud afterwards. Trust me, that works. And talk like you're sharing secrets or tips with a friend. I had a great question from Corey Miller. And if you guys don't know, Corey Miller does a podcast on the Sean West Network called Behind the Brand, and it's a great show. So he's got a co-host on that show. Co-host's name's Kyle Adams. Really cool dude. So Corey asked, when Kyle and I record our podcast, we often struggle between referring to each other as you and referring to the audience as you. Is this really an issue? Or should we just preface it with something like you, the listener? And this is a great question, Corey. And thanks for asking this. Doing a great job with your show, by the way. So using you when you're talking to your imaginary listener or your audience, this might be a little bit confusing for your co-host, but it will definitely make your audience feel like you're speaking directly to them. And this is what you want. You want your audience to feel like they're hanging out in a room with you and your co-host or your guest, even if they can't respond to you, talk to you directly. You should still acknowledge their presence. Something else I want to say, guys. Been thinking about this one a lot lately, too. Don't be needy, okay? Don't be needy. The IRS takes, and that's why everyone hates them. They're just constantly asking you for money and taking it if you don't give it to them. I'm only partially joking because I know that taxes pay for things like police and firemen and roads and utilities, all that stuff. But the reason so many people are angry at the IRS is because they are a taker. People can sense neediness, and it scares their lizard brain. They think, this person just keeps asking me for things. They're always just taking and taking. They're going to drain me of my resources and my time. And then they run the other way as fast as they can. If you've ever met someone who's just really needy, who's always asking, you've had this response. There's this flight response where you're just like, I just want to get out of here. I don't want to be around this person. So think about that. Don't be needy. Give value to your listener, to your reader. You want to become their ally. So think about this. Becoming an ally to your audience. The world can be a scary and lonely place sometimes. And we all need friends that have our back when times get tough. We all need someone to look us in the eye and say, yes, I understand what you're going through and I want to help. So be an ally. The secret to success, and this is kind of a bold statement, but I'm going to say it. The secret to success is just be helpful. Plain and simple. That's it. Just be helpful. If you want to have lots of friends, if you want to get a lot of business, if you want to be popular, it's not that hard. Be helpful. Help people out. Use the skills and knowledge that you have and give to people. And this doesn't mean that everyone's just always going to take and take, and then you're going to be left with nothing left, just a skeleton on the side of the road with nothing. No, when people perceive you as an ally, they will help you out when you need it. They'll get your back. We'll talk about that more in a future episode because I like that. Need to give your audience tangible, actionable takeaways. Okay, you guys know what I hate. I really hate when I visit a website or I listen to a podcast and I get this. Here's a short preview of what we're talking about in today's episode. To hear the full thing, sign up for our monthly membership and listen to the full episode. Or they just have like a basic show description where it's like, we talk about da 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 da. And it's something that you're kind of interested in, but it's an hour and a half show and you're like, I don't know if this is going to be something I want to invest my time in. Like, don't tease me. I hate that. There's nothing wrong with membership sites or paid content or products. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. It's totally fine. But those things need to have even more value than the free stuff. If your free stuff is basically just kind of almost like a trap to get somebody to listen to the good stuff, that's going to make people angry. There's a productivity podcast that did this to me a few months ago, and I haven't wanted to listen to it since. It's like, here's what we talked about in this episode. Go sign up for the membership site, and you can hear the rest of it. I was just like, thanks. I just invested time in that. The free stuff still needs to be valuable. And keep in mind that not everybody has time to listen to an entire podcast episode. If you put the most valuable takeaways in your show notes, you're giving your audience something valuable and they will love you for it. They will come back for more later. You're like, well, what about download numbers? Screw download numbers. Eric had said something. Eric Friedenson. I think that's how you say his last name. Friedenson? Love you, Eric. Good dude. He said something in the chat and I told him I was going to quote him because I like this. Don't focus on the numbers. Focus on the depth of connection. Giving someone something valuable in audio form, in video form, in written form is making a connection. They will remember that. They will appreciate that and it'll come back to you. That's the rule of reciprocity. Sean's done a bunch of podcast episodes and TV episodes about that, and I'm going to link to them in the show notes, which you can find at seanwest.com. Nope. Technically you can, but it's thepodcastdude.com/25. You could also go to seanwest.com/podcastdude/25, but don't do that. All right, moving on. How to deal with haters or negative or no feedback at all. How to deal with haters or negative feedback or not getting any feedback. If you do something long enough, if you're good enough at it, you're eventually going to get negative comments. And there are two things that you should know. Number one, you finally made it. So congratulations. You're famous now. Number two, you should respond respectfully or not at all. This is especially true if the person talking to you is hiding behind a screen name and a fake picture, an avatar, and they're talking smack to you. They're not interested in creating real conversations. Don't engage with them. Don't waste time on them. Don't waste brain energy on them. You only have so many hours to live. Don't waste a fraction of that talking to someone who is angry for whatever reason and trying to take it out on you and make you feel bad about what you're doing. Don't talk to those people. Don't engage with them. If you're not getting feedback, let's talk about that. Well, first off, you should have already defined your audience and what you're going to do for them. And you need to listen to them. I got a great question here. But first, ask questions. Ask for feedback. And not in a needy way, but let your listeners or your readers know that you really want to hear from them. Not just anyone, them. You're speaking directly to them. Sean McCabe does this really well. He does it better than anyone I've ever met. And I got a great question from Scotty Russell in the chat. He asked, I've been asking my audience what they are struggling with and getting lots of good content to cover. Other than listening and applying my experiences with their struggles, what are some more practical tips for deeper connections? Okay, Scotty, are you ready? I should say, first off, I realize that if you don't have an audience at all, I just skip right over that. I'm sorry, guys. Just broke my rule, never apologize. I did an episode on this. just a couple episodes ago, and I want to make sure I get this right. I believe it was 23. Yeah, thepodcastdude.com/23. What to do when your podcast isn't getting results. Go listen to that if you don't have any audience at all yet. Okay, I want to talk to Scotty right now. Scotty, you ready for this? Are you listening, Scotty? Yep, he's here. Okay, good. Just checking, Scotty. I'm watching. Always watching. Okay, here are the tips, Scotty. I got tips for you. Tips and tips and tips all day. First, the questions that you get, write them down. All of them. Doesn't matter if you think that you're not going to talk about it right now. Doesn't matter if it seems insignificant. Write those things down. Talk with your audience. Talk with the people you're trying to help. One-on-one. Talk on Skype. Meet them in person. Take notes in person. If you take notes with them in person, make sure you don't lose those notes. This apparently happened to me. Met with a great dude last Friday, and now I can't find the notes I took. It happens. It's okay. Move on. Follow these people on Twitter and get to know them better. You need to be in their mindset. You need to be in their lives. Does that sound creepy? Anyways, start a list and reminders and capture the things that they're talking about related to your podcast or your blog. Always, always be thinking about how you can help them out. And this can be tricky, especially if you're trying to work a full-time job, if you're busy, if you got family, if you got kids. It's hard to invest time into people, but the time you invest into your audience, that's time well spent. That's time that will help you understand what their needs are. And that's what making a good podcast is all about. Okay, got another question from Ryan Magner. This is actually the dude I met last Friday. Shout out to Ryan. He asked, how do I balance a fun show personality while maintaining a serious tone when talking about topics that are important to someone's business? I want my personality to be present, but I don't want them to not take me seriously. This is a great, great question, Ryan. And my advice for that is be genuine. Don't try to fake something that you're not unless you're faking a better version of yourself. That's kind of tricky. But I think it's totally fine to fake a better version of yourself because it'll start to be who you are. There's nothing wrong with being fun. There's nothing wrong with liking the things you like. You are the way that you are, and you should embrace that. The part of you that feels like it's not good enough, that's fear. That's just you being afraid that someone's going to not like you, reject you, or ignore you completely. Really, the more bold you are about your personality, the more comfortable you are with yourself, the more people are going to find you and like you and appreciate you for who you are. Yeah, there are going to be people that, for whatever reason, get angry at you. It happens. A lot of angry people in the world. Trust me, a lot of angry people in the world. They're not your problem. You're not going to help them. They don't want to be helped. Be yourself. Have fun, man. Take what you do seriously. If you care about it, if it's important to you, people will recognize that. And that's what counts. It's okay to admit if you don't know the answer to something, if you don't know the answer to a question. And this is where you can get your audience involved. People love this. Ask your audience if they know the answer to a question. Give them a chance to share their knowledge. Don't be afraid to be a flawed human being. You're going to make mistakes at some point. Everybody does. Just laugh it off and move on. Nobody expects you to be perfect. They just want you to do your best. They just want you to try. They just want you to show up. Okay, where was I? Another great question. Share stories. Share a personal, emotional story. This will help people connect with you. Aaron Taylor asked, if I bring in the topic of my past experiences, such as mistakes, will that make my audience think less of me because I am showing vulnerable moments? And Daniela had also asked a similar question to this, so I wanted to kind of tie these together. Don't be afraid to get real. People connect with vulnerability. They want to hear stories about how you overcame the difficulties in your life and found success and glory. People love those stories. It's great. So don't be afraid to express your emotions. But share your experiences with the intention of showing your audience what worked and what didn't. Share your experiences with the intention of showing your audience what worked and what didn't. And I got to be honest with you guys, I'm not the best example of someone who's good at learning from other people's mistakes. I tend to make my own, and then I remember that one time I heard someone warning me not to make the same mistake they did. This happens to me quite a lot. But this doesn't mean that sharing your mistakes isn't going to help someone. I think it will. I think it really will, especially if you share your mistakes with the intention of helping someone else learn from them and make better choices. So tell stories. I love stories. You guys love stories. We all love stories. Okay. Keep it short. Keep your podcast short. Keep your blog post short. Why do I say this? I've really become convinced that it's better to have a value-packed, shorter show than a show that drags on. Keep it punchy, keep it energetic. And this is something I struggle with because I like being the center of attention. I even like talking sometimes, part of my personality. But I should be focusing on what my audience wants and needs, not what I need. I'm going to say that one again. I'm going to say it at you. You should be focusing on what your audience wants and needs, not what you need. This isn't about us. This is about them. This is about respecting your audience by not wasting their time. This is why editing is so important, both when you're writing and when you're done recording. So be respectful of your audience's time. This ties into something else. This is kind of tricky. You want to make your message simple to understand, but don't talk to your audience like they're idiots. Does that make sense? This is kind of hard. You don't want to talk down to people. You don't want to explain things in a way that sounds like you assume that everyone in your audience isn't very smart. That's not a good idea. Here's the way I think about it. If someone in your audience doesn't understand what you're saying, what you're trying to communicate, then that's not their problem. It's yours. You need to ask why they're not understanding, and you need to break it down further, possibly go into more detail, simplify it, make it easy for them to understand. And this depends a lot on your audience. It's really hard to target both people who are just getting started in an industry or in a craft or in a skill, and then people who have been doing it for a long, long time. They have different needs. So this is why it's important to figure out, who your audience is and what they need. Being respectful is about being grateful for the audience you have and the attention that they're giving you. So this is why I say, make it valuable. Okay, guys, that's the show for today. Keeping it short. Nope, that was kind of long, actually. That's totally fine. I want to say thanks for listening. If you got questions, feedback, thoughts, poetry, songs, send them all to aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Send me stuff. I love getting stuff. Join the Sean West community. I've talked about this before every single episode, and there's a reason I talk about it in every episode. The reason is because it's freaking awesome. It's freaking awesome, and you should be there. If you've been enjoying this podcast, if you've been listening to the other podcasts on the Sean West Network, if you haven't, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. The Sean West Network podcasts are all fantastic. Some of the best podcasts out there. Go check those out, seanwest.com/network. If you want to get help on your podcast, if you want to get help on your business, if you want to talk about your life struggles, life struggles, then join, check out seanwest.com/community. It's seriously amazing. It's not like anywhere else on the internet. I'm not just saying that. I'm really not just saying that. It is not like anything else on the internet, and you owe it to yourself to go look at it. Get to know some of the people here. You'll get so much out of it. So thank you, everyone in the community, for listening. Okay, exciting news for you guys real quick. I'm working on my first product. I'm excited about this one. This is going to be a podcasting template, a starter template for both Logic Pro X and GarageBand. What do you mean a podcast template? This is a file that I've created that when you open it up, already has some pre-made tracks in it with a bunch of stock plugins configured exactly like I would if I was working on a podcast for a client. So I have plugins already set up to make a voice sound good. You grab this template. All you have to do is either jump in and record some audio and turn on the plugins, or just import some audio from somewhere else. If you're recording a QuickTime file recording something on like a Zoom H4n. You just drop the file in and boom, it sounds good. I'm also going to record screencasts to show you, walk you through the steps, recording audio, importing audio, why I chose the plugins and settings that I did, what they do to the audio, and then how to edit quickly. I'm going to share some tips and some keyboard shortcuts to make you a faster editor, how to export the audio when you're done, get a nice, great sounding MP3 file. So I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to be really valuable. Working on it right now. Got the outline, got the sales page. So exciting stuff. If you guys could help me out, if you want to hear progress updates on this, head over to thepodcastdude.com and sign up for my email newsletter. I send out newsletters every week when the episodes go live with an overview of the show, the artwork, some great takeaways. If you don't have time to listen, you can just read the takeaways because that's kind of like the best parts of the episode. And then also a personalized message, podcastdude.com. Go check it out. If you guys could leave me a review in iTunes, this helps other people find the show. Makes me happy. I appreciate it. I like to know that you guys are listening and you're getting value. Thanks to everyone who's been sending me emails. Seriously, you're the best. All right. Garrett Mickley says he's totally going to write me some poems. Now you got it, man. You got it. I want to hear from you. Let me know if I can help you with your podcast. I'm not just talking to Garrett. The offer's extended to Garrett, too, but if you guys have questions about your podcast, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I'm always here. Here in Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, got some good questions from the chat. Emily Carlton asked, I think you can repeat yourself too often. I've unfollowed people who are a broken record about the same thing over and over. Is it a balance of not too much or a matter of changing up your content to keep interest, but not deceiving people into clicking on something they already know about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Emily. The people that post the same blog post on Twitter every single day. It is a balance. It's kind of hard because you get new followers all the time. But if you're posting the same sentence, if you're posting the same link with the same takeaway every single time, eventually people get tired of that. My rule of thumb is, I don't know. I'm not a social media guru. I'm not a social media expert, but I'm going to say maybe don't post the same link twice in the same 2 weeks, unless it's really, really important and you really want people to understand that it's really important. Cycle through your old content sparingly. But really, it's more about, when I say repeat yourself more often, it's really more about kind of understanding that some of the things you say are really important. And you want to make sure your audience knows that they're really important, they're really helpful. If you say something that isn't valuable over and over again, that's the worst. Like if I was just walking around in my house with my roommate around and I was just saying, I think I'm going to go get pizza for lunch today. And then a couple seconds later, I'm like, I think I'm going to go get pizza for lunch today. I think I'm going to go get pizza for lunch today. Yeah, like everyone's already annoyed. No, it has to be something that's valuable to people. And of course, you should be writing, you know, repeat yourself more often. I'm assuming that you're producing a podcast or a blog post every week. And you shouldn't be writing about the same topic every single week. But there are going to be little catchphrases, little takeaways, things that become mantras. You know, I'm thinking about how Sean does this. I think I'm going to get pizza for lunch today. I'm thinking about how Sean does this. Think about all the things that Sean says over and over again. Magic of Seven, Overlap Technique, 6 a.m. Club. I could go on and on. The point is that these are things that he repeats that have bigger ideas behind them. So maybe that's the difference. I don't know. That's a great question, though. And Emily had said, one example was this weekend, no joke, the person posted the same thing 7 times during the day. It was just too much. Yeah. Yeah, this is being needy. Hey, guys, go check out my thing. Could you please visit this link? That's neediness. That you're not helping someone with that. Wow, really? Daniela says she recently saw a filmmaker spam a link obscenely on Twitter, like 50 tweets in a day with the same link. Nothing new, just the same link. Some people are just doing this wrong. Corey Miller said, there's a difference between posting something 7 times and posting something 7 times with 7 different kinds of value. Great point. Great point, Corey. Okay, I think you guys got the point for now. I think I'll do another episode on this because this is there's something deeper here, I feel like, and I want to dig into it. Can't do it right now. Okay, Alex Kellerman asked, what do you do when you put it in your calendar and still fail to do it? Still fail to follow through? What do you do when you put something in your calendar and you fail to follow through? If it's in your calendar, you should be doing it. This is about respecting yourself. Merlin Mann does some great talks about this, about priorities. And I'll try to go, I'll go find one and put it in the show notes for this episode. This is why I said I'm going to do an episode called You Need a Boss to Make You Podcast. You need some public accountability. You need to tell people that you're going to show up and release a podcast on Tuesdays every week. And then you need to find out how much time you're going to invest in this every week and commit to it. If you want to be successful, if you don't really care that much, then just do it when you feel like doing it. But don't expect any results if you go that way. I don't know. I feel like there's a better answer there. But I feel like if you commit to doing something and you don't do it, you need to think really hard about why you committed to doing that in the first place. You need to start taking your yeses and your nos more seriously. If I put, and Alex, I love you, I'm not trying to be super, super harsh. I know I used to struggle with this. If I put something in the calendar, that's because it's happening. If somebody else asks me to do something, I check the calendar. If it's free, then I can write it in only if I really want to do it. If I don't want to do it, I say no. You'll get better at this the more you say no, the more practice that you have saying no. I have friends that for the longest time would call me up, not bad people, but they would call me up and they'd ask me to do something that I really wasn't that interested in doing. You know, maybe it's go see a movie or go hang out and like hang at their house, watch a movie, get a pizza. And for some reason or other, I like them as people, but I was busy at the time don't say you're busy. I had other things that were a higher priority. I had things that I wanted to get done and I felt guilty about saying no. Some people are bad about this too. Someone asks you to do something and they're like, come on, man. Like I really want you to do this with me. And like, it'd be so fun. And then you're like, oh, I don't know. And then they give you a guilt trip. First off, I don't put up with that anymore. If I tell somebody no and they try to guilt me for it, they get a stone face from me. They get the, I don't know, what's it called? Dead eyes? Laser eyes? I don't know. I give them the blank stare. I told somebody the other day, they asked me to do something when they very clearly understood that I was not going to be able to do it. I told them, I don't appreciate you asking me to do something that I cannot and have told you in the past that I'm not willing to do. And I got harsh on them. I struggled with that a lot when I was younger. I felt obligated to say yes more than I should have. I had a hard time telling people no. Because it feels selfish, right? It feels like, you know, like you're some fancy person that does exactly what they want and you don't care about other people. But the truth is some people, you know, they may not even have bad intentions. But if you're the kind of person that wants to get things done and you have very set goals and you have drive to accomplish things, then there are going to be people and opportunities and things that you have to say no to. Because if you said yes to everything, people are always going to be asking you. That's just the truth. People are going to be asking you to go to their concert, to go see a movie with you, to do this, to do that, to take on this extra work, all these things. At some point, you have to say no to make time for the things that you want to get done. Yeah. Calendaring. Okay. All right. Well, I hope that was helpful for everyone. Like I said, if you've been enjoying the show, send me feedback or questions. If there's a topic you'd like me to talk more about, there's any stories that you want me to tell, my email is just aaron@thepodcastdude.com, or you can head over to thepodcastdude.com and hit the contact button there. While you're there, sign up for my email news list because it's awesome, and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. If you're still listening on the website, you should get a podcast app for your phone because those are awesome. It's a thing, seriously. All right, have an excellent week, and I will talk to you all next time.